painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
Welcome to Artbeat, and our coverage of Something Tribal This Way comes from St. Paul, Minnesota. This festival offers workshops in American Tribal Belly Dance, also known as ATS, as well as other forms such as fusion, old school Egyptian, and American cabaret. Today we visit with a dancer who was inspired at a farmer's market by a group of other dancers and fell in love with the art form. Learn how this individual went all in, from learning the dance to making the costumes to getting the stamp of approval to open a Fat Chance Belly Dance sister studio from Carolina Noricchio. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to Artbeat. I'm at Something Tribal This Way Comes, and I have one of the guest instructors with me. Yay! Go ahead and introduce yourself and who you work for, or if it's working for yourself.
Hi, I'm Cindy Serena Elliott. I'm the director and owner of Ivory Tribal Dance Company. We are a Fat Chance Belly Dance sister studio based in Topeka, Kansas. I work for myself. I own that bad boy, and yeah, it's all mine.
Tell me when your relationship with dance started and why.
I've been dancing since I was born. My mother said I shimmied out of the womb, which was actually kind of disturbing to think of. But I can't remember a time where we didn't have music in the house. Back in 95, I found ATS at a farmer's market. And farmer's markets in California are a little bit different than other places. They're huge. They're just like festivals. It's crazy. And I remember seeing these women walking by with these tassels and these skirts and shiny and jingly. And I'm thinking, what is this? I need to find it. And I kind of follow them around, kind of stalkerish. Think about it now. I lost them in the crowd and whatnot. And then I heard drums. And so again, I'm like, I need to find this. So I found them, and they were on this little stage, and there's probably about 10 of them. And the shapes and the sizes, I mean, there was big, there was small, there was tall, there was short, there was so many colors and tassels and motion and drums, and they were just dancing together, and it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. I didn't see, you know, 10 different people on stage. I saw one dance. It was really pretty. It was just like, I have to do this. And so that was back in 95, and I've just been kind of going ever since.
Well, obviously you liked it enough that now you own your own studio. So how did you propel yourself in your training to get to the level that you're at?
A lot of perseverance. I stopped for a few years to raise my kids. I've got 6 kids. And so basically what I did at that time was, you know, I did the whole, you know, mom thing, PTA and work, normal job, and just danced what I remembered and what I had classes and whatnot. And I just kept going and going and going. And I knew one day I wanted to do something with it. I just didn't know what. About 3 years ago, and this is when Ivory was born, but I've been dancing continually for like the last 7 years with different troops and whatnot. And about 3 years ago, I broke off from my old troop and I started Ivory. And my husband said, well, you know, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it. So go for it. That was pretty much how it started. And I wanted to teach. I wanted to travel. I wanted to make the clothes. I wanted to see my costumes come to life on stage the way they did at that farmer's market. And it was just the first time I saw my costumes dance on stage. I was sitting next to my husband. I grabbed him. I'm like, that's my skirt. He was just like, yes, baby, it is. So yeah, it was kind of surreal. And I mean, I love dancing. I love performing, but honestly, and this is going to sound really, really cheesy, but some of my greatest joyful times come from seeing my costumes come to life on stage. It's just the most amazing thing ever to see somebody wearing your skirt or your pants or your choli or your jewelry and just giving it some kind of soul up there. It's just amazing.
So were you always into sewing?
No, wasn't going to sew. Actually, like in 6th grade, I took home ec and they gave me the choice of knitting and sewing. And I said, I'm knitting a pillow. And I knitted that. I can knit like a crazy woman. We did Civil War reenacting for a little while.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and those clothes are really time intensive and expensive and giant and big. And we wanted all the ball gowns and all the wool pants. And so it was kind of, you know, I knew how to sew a button on, so how much harder can sewing that stuff be? And that was probably about, I'd say probably like 8-9 years ago. And I just sat down and I taught myself how to sew.
Do you do any of the dip dyeing of the skirts too?
Yeah, I dip dye all the skirts. That actually came about because I had, and my husband, if he's listening to this, which I don't know if he will be, I had every color imaginable in skirt in my closet. And there was some combinations I wanted and I couldn't find. So I decided I was going to start playing with colors. And I mixed the colors, and I'm kind of a science geek, so it was really interesting to mix the colors and see what colors I came up with. So I started dip dyeing the skirts and tie dyeing the shirts and crackle dyeing the skirts and just coming up with things that no one else had. So that opened up an entire another portion of my house that I had to clear out for more of my skirts. So actually my husband had told me, he said, I don't mind you sewing, I don't mind you making all the jewelry and whatnot. He says, but you're going to have to either stop or you're going to have to start selling your stuff. That's actually how the vending came about. I mean, I knew I wanted to do it, but I just didn't want to do it in this capacity. I just wanted to do it something very small. It's relaxing to me. When, you know, everybody goes to bed or everybody's at school, I'll just sit and I'll sew and sew and sew and I'll lose track of time. And before you know it, I have all this. So that's how, yeah, that's how this came about.
For some people that don't know, a traditional belly dance skirt usually has around 25 yards of fabric or so. So that's kind of time consuming.
Yes. It takes about 2 days to dye one skirt. If I make a skirt from scratch, it usually takes me about a week. I don't do that very often. I only do this for special orders now. And they're usually kind of some crazy combinations people come up with skirts.
What have been some of the biggest challenges you faced with doing this career?
I'm based out of Kansas. I'm originally from California, but I'm based out of Kansas. So one of the biggest challenges we've had is just getting people to realize that ATS exists in Kansas. And bringing ATS and bringing the people together to actually dance this. We have a lot of different styles in Kansas, but like I said, ATS is kind of the unicorn. Also, being from Kansas, the thought process of most people, when you say, I'm a belly dancer, right away they're like, you're a stripper? It's like, no, I'm a belly dancer, so there you go. It's taken a good, probably 5 years, for people in Kansas to realize that, you know, we are family friendly. I won't do anything that's not family friendly. I teach at the Boys and Girls Club. We do a lot of the family festivals and the art festivals and that kind of thing to get our name out there and to get belly dance out there so people can see that it is an art form. It's not anything to be ashamed of. And if I can't do it in front of my grandma and I can't do it in front of my grandkids, I'm not going to do it. So, yeah, and then getting your name out everywhere else, kind of traveling and whatnot. So,
you said you get great personal joy out of seeing the costumes on stage, but you have to get personal joy out of dancing as well.
Oh, I do. I love dancing. I absolutely, there's absolutely no words imaginable to tell you what kind of joy I have when I'm out there dancing. It's just, I'm in another world. It's, my sister died 5 years ago of breast cancer. And so I always say that when I dance with her or she dances with me. And when I miss a cue, it's her fault. It's totally her fault. Sorry. I get so much joy and just watching the people. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's like you have these people out there and you just grab them and you have them dance with you. And before you know it, people are dancing in their seats. I mean, they're feeling the energy off of you. I don't know how to put that into words. I really don't. It's just probably one of the, I mean, next to my kids and all the personal joys that I've had. I mean, dancing is like the happiest place that I can ever think of being, kind of in my own little world.
I notice when you dance, you smile a lot. Your eyes get wide. Your teeth just start. You see everything in your facial expression where some people don't show that much or do not emote that much. Why do you think you're different?
I don't know. I have no idea. I really don't. I don't know. It's like Christmas morning when you're a little kid and you go down there and you see all those presents and that little kid joy that you have that, you know, this is all for me and I'm going to. That's kind of what happens when I get on stage. It's like, you know, I'm out there. This is my little happy time, and this is my gift, and I'm going to give it all to you. I've never been a receiver of gifts. I'm really bad at receiving gifts, but I'm an awesome giver. And so it's like when I'm out there, it's kind of my gift to everybody, that joy. And I just want people to be happy and have fun. And I know that's kind of cliche and cheesy, but I really just want people to be happy and have fun. I mean, life's too short to be anything but.
when you're creating a routine for classes or for stage, do you rehearse or are you? I notice you're laughing.
I try to. I travel a lot. I've been home for the last 3 weeks. I've been home for 4 days, and that was pretty much it. I've been home long enough to teach. A lot of what we do, well, most of what we do in ATS, it's all improv. So we don't have a set choreography or anything like that. We just pretty much go out there, and every time we dance a song, it's different. It should be different because, I mean, you're in different places every time you dance. It doesn't really matter. You know, you're a different place of your life. You're a different place of your mood. It all factors in. So do I rehearse? Yes. When I'm actually home, I rehearse for 2 hours a day. I do drills. If my classes are hard, my rehearsal time is even worse. It's pretty much, my husband's like, you're brutal. I'm like, yeah, I am. Not only do I have Irie Tribal to represent, I also have Fat Chance to represent because it is Carolina's dance. So I need to represent that as pure as humanly possible to just have people understand and see what it is. So yes, I do rehearse. Have I rehearsed lately? No. In my car. I came from Virginia and I was home for like a day and a half and then I came back or this way. So
you say that you're a Fat Chance belly dance sister studio. How did you get that stamp?
There's several levels of training you have to take. Your first one is GS, which is general skills, and you go, and basically it's I did the first GS where all the volumes were, and there's 9 volumes now, but at the time there was 8. It was 4 days and it was about 8 hours a day. And it was all dancing, and she basically broke down all of the moves and whatnot. I had been danced before that, so when I went to GS, it wasn't very hard. It was more tedious for me because I was so hard on myself because I had been dancing, and there's been things I was doing wrong. So it's kind of like I had to adjust and tweak everything because I didn't think that just because I got this GS certification that automatically I should be able to teach. You know, I think a lot should go behind it. So I got my GS and then general skills, and then I had to go back for teacher training, which basically that is you pick a move and you teach it to the mama, the mother, you know, who created this dance, and you teach it to her, and then you get granted your teacher training 1. And I also did a teacher training 2, which is a business of belly dance, which kind of helps you start this whole thing rolling. And then after that, you apply for a sister studio, and she either grants it or she doesn't, and I got mine, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Does she have to come and look at your studio at all, or?
No. She keeps pretty good tabs on us. I mean, with the whole internets and all the social medias and stuff, she knows what we're doing. There's a lot of sister studios out there, and I think for the most part, we all try to keep it pure and, you know, the way she created it and whatnot. We come up with our own little moves here and there, but, you know, we try to have it come out of what the basics moves are. And as long as you keep them, you know, true to form, true out of that basic move, she usually is okay with what we do.
Now, you had mentioned you were a nurse.
Yes, I'm a nurse.
You're still active in that career?
I have my license still. I said about 5 years ago, my sister died and I helped take care of her. And so watching my sister die kind of gave me a interesting perspective on life as, you know, she never really got to do anything because she was... She had 6 kids, and she, hard times, it was just, you know, her life. But she didn't get to do a lot of the things she wanted to do, and she died at 40. So she never got to do anything, really, other than raise her 6 kids, with her youngest ones were 5. And after she died, I realized that life is just too short to do, I don't know, it's like she wanted me to be happy. I mean, I was happy anyway, but being a nurse, but I just, there was this more out there and I wanted to do all the things. And it's like, I don't just do all the things for me. I do it for her too, because, you know, I honestly believe she lives through me. I know that's kind of, you know, whatever, creepy or whatever, but, you know, I try to live twice the person because she has to live too since she's not here. So
you're paying tribute to her every day.
I am. Yeah. And so, like I said, we dance on stage together. All my tattoos on my back are for her. And when I mess up on stage, it's her fault. So I can blame her. Yeah.
If there's a piece of advice you could give to people that were looking to pursue this avenue of dance, what would it be?
Be true to yourself. You'll meet a lot of people who are going to be some really, really, really good influences on you. and support you and, you know, encourage you through it. You know, take their words of advice and just really, really heed them. Don't doubt yourself. Know who you are. And I mean, if this is something you really want, just go for it. I mean, don't hold back, because, you know, it's too short. Life's too short to not be able to achieve your dreams. It really is. So that would be my advice. Be yourself and go for it.
If people want to find out more information about you, where should they go?
It's www.irietribal.com. That's our website. You can also find us on Facebook/irietribal, I think it would be. And you can email me at irietribal@yahoo.com. Or we're on Twitter, too. I think it's at
Oh, you got the hookups.
Yeah. I've got 6 kids. They're like, Mom, do this. You need to be on that one web thing. It's like, do the things. So,
well, thanks for visiting with me. And thanks for teaching.
Thank you so much. Yay.
Thanks again to Cindy Serena for visiting with us on ArtBeat. More information on Cindy can be found at www.irietribal.com. That's IRIETribal.com. Another thank you goes out to Tasha Rose for Something Tribal This Way Comes, a belly dance festival in St. Paul, Minnesota. More information on the festival can be found at www.somethingtribal.com and at kamalachanddanceco.com. That's kamalachanddanceco.com. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you've been listening to ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.